Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Why is it Dr. Van Beek, everyone? Right. We're doing it another noontime pod.
Still at work.
Yeah.
Still a noontime
pod. I decided to do it at lunch today because it's 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And, I have a little air conditioner in my office here.
Yeah. And it's nice.
It's okay. It's actually barely keeping up.
Yeah. It's almost pleasant.
Yes. It's almost pleasant. I would call it warm, not cool.
Oh.
But it's not hot.
Yes. Yeah. And as I jokingly said to somebody today, oh, hey, it's nice and cool here. It's the only reason I came to work today.
It's really, well, that and the paycheck. One day we won't require a paycheck.
Yeah, that's right.
On the streets.
The streets of gold, mind you.
Yes, yes. And that brings us back to Hebrews. This is a little tough chapter in that the concept of a Sabbath rest. There's some argument about the whole idea of a Sabbath rest. For the people of Israel, it was actually, he was referring to getting into the land. That was the rest for them, right?
Right.
Getting out of the desert, away from Egypt, into the land. That was their rest. When he talks about God's Sabbath rest here, some refer to this as the rest that you have in salvation, the rest that you have in your faith. And others, where I take it, is sort of the rest that you enter when you enter heaven. Mm. And the commentator that I read recently said he ties it with those that believe with Revelation chapter 4, when you see the vision of heaven.
Okay.
So that's the rest there. Of course, for God, it was, remember, God rested from creation. That's kind of the thing that they're pointing to, that God took a breather, and the rest of us can as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're talking about entering God's rest. Here we go.
Yeah. We're at Hebrews 4, folks, in case if we didn't catch you up on that, but hey, so starting at verse 1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest that any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given rest, God would have not spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his.
That's good. That right there. Quite a long read, isn't it?
It was a good read.
It was a good read, and it's all about the exact same thing. So really, those in the desert had the good news coming to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't benefit from it because they had no faith. They didn't have faith in God. Mm. They didn't have faith that God would follow through on what he said he would do, right?
Right.
Couple of them had faith, but Joshua and Caleb, and I think Moses was pretty good, but they didn't follow through. So they didn't have faith. They didn't enter the land, which for them was the rest, right?
Right.
Okay. And so he said, God got mad at them,
mm-hmm.
and said, you're all going to die in the desert.
Right.
It scares me a little bit because I think of my own life and my own faith, and you know, and just like you, Steve, I wonder how are we any different than those guys?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So true.
And we have so much more because we've got Christ within us. We've got the Holy Spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
And there almost should be a stronger reckoning on us than there was on those folk.
Right, right? Yeah, good point. Good point. And two testaments and centuries of practice.
have led us to be exactly the same as we always were. We know better, though. We know better. And right. So he said somewhere on the seventh day, God rested from his works. And he said, that is the type of rest that's waiting for us. And it's a rest of faith. Now, for me, I take this rest. Like I said, the commentator said that some pointed to Revelation, saw this rest as heaven. I still see this rest as a future thing. But there's very much a present day aspect to the rest as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Rest. God, resting in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That is there as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to ask me to push me, I'll say, no, he's talking about being obedient here for the rest that's coming later.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Okay, so today, don't harden your hearts. Okay. And if there's, again, the other big question that keeps coming up in this book is, some would say this rest is actually salvation. And the hardening your hearts is, don't harden your heart, but come unto Christ. Where others of us say, no, he's talking to Christians.
Yeah.
They have Christ. They have salvation. And he's saying, don't go back on the salvation that you have.
That makes sense to me, because the author seems to be trying to draw a parallel with the nation of Israel entering the promised land and those of us who have received Christ finishing the race well, like finishing our lives well.
Yeah. Very much like the first three chapters of Revelation, right?
Yeah.
If for those who have an ear to hear, let them hear and you know, and follow through every time. If you have a ear, then pay attention to what I'm saying to you.
Right, right, right.
Now, this is another reason people don't think this thing is Pauline, because Paul's letters are very much, it's all about your faith in Christ, that you stand on your faith in Christ alone.
Okay.
And it's not about the things you do, but he is talking about your faith in Christ, right? Standing on your faith.
Right.
Anyway, verse 8.
Right. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his.
Let's just stop for a second and do that. I know you read that before.
No, that's all good.
But if, and some of your versions, if you read an older version, it'll say if Jesus had given them rest.
Hmm.
Think because Joshua and Jesus is the same name, right? One's okay. Hebrew, one's Greek.
Okay.
But he says, if Joshua had given them rest. So basically what he's saying is, if you're going to argue, but they did get into the land. They got into the land under Joshua. Mm-hmm. And he says, right, they did get into the land under Joshua. The survivors of the desert, those born in the desert, did get into the land. But that is not the final rest that we're talking about, because later on, David talked about the rest again. You know, centuries later on,
right.
David talked about rest again. So that's what he's saying. So there remains a rest for us.
Yeah.
Which I still think is heaven, Steve.
Yeah.
But like you can do it in present time as well.
Okay. But I'm with you. It makes sense.
Fulfillment too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give account.
Yeah, and you've heard sermons on this, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah.
About the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. I had a teacher, Ron Kidd, in Bible college, and he spoke on this in one chapel, and he talked about, we look at theologians as the great people standing on the operating table with the Bible below them, and they're cutting into the Bible to explain what's going on there. He says, but really, we're the ones on the table, and the Bible is the operator. The Bible is the doctor cutting into us.
Wow. Good imagery. So
it was a good image, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the scripture judges us. It's a two-edged sword, very sharp sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
You only need one edge to be sharp, really.
But yeah. Might as well have two. Well, you know, if you decide to be a lefty, decide to be a lefty one day and a righty one day, you know.
or you know, Anyway, but here's the thing. It divides to soul and spirit, joints and marrow, right? So joints and marrow is obvious, right? That's cutting through a person. Soul and spirit is a little interesting in that people get into there was an argument that people get into about is humanity are we a trichotomy or a dichotomy or a whole person? So trichotomy puts people as body, soul, and spirit,
okay,
saying they are three distinct things.
Mm-hmm.
And a dichotomy says soul and spirit. So soul and body is kind of the same thing.
Okay, I get you.
Spirit is the other piece. So, and there have been great theological arguments over this, or holistic, where David says, in my body I shall see the Lord. So just, they always say that the Hebrews were more holistic, and it was the Greeks that were more into the dividing up of parts of a person.
Okay.
The point, of course, doesn't change. The point is, Scripture sees right through your intentions.
Yeah.
God knows what you're thinking. There's nothing that you're thinking that's hidden from God.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well be open with Him, and just let Him know what's going on in your life.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Very. One of the things I very much appreciate about you is just how real you are with God in your prayers and in your discussion with Him. So that's fantastic.
Which is why I'm being punished all the time. So I consider being here a punishment. If someone pushed me, I'd say, no, God puts His best people in the toughest places.
Yes, yes. The double-edged sword of authenticity.
This is many are the afflictions of the righteous, not God judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh. And we both know that even with being so far from family and stuff, as tough as it is, I have it pretty easy here. I have a good job. I eat what I want.
Yeah.
You know.
But still.
Well, I eat what Lynn lets me.
But still, yeah. These things are tough too, right? Like we all have these things that we suffer with. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need.
Yeah, beautiful ending. There's going to be much more in this book about Jesus being the high priest. Right. So, you know, if you're Jewish, there was a high priest, and they're saying, no, Jesus was the high priest. Right. They're going to show how he is greater than any Jewish high priest ever was,
right,
that he comes from a different line, and all of that's coming later on in the book. But right now, he just says he's a high priest. It's interesting that he can sympathize with our weakness because he was tempted as we are tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of cool, that in every way that we're tempted, probably not every individual temptation, but in every way that we're tempted, Jesus was tempted as well.
Yeah.
40 days in the wilderness. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it funny, because you and I are, you know, parents of children, and you think our children would, you know, something would happen to them, and you'd say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. I understand how hard that is. And they're like, you don't understand how hard it is. And yet we have Jesus that does it completely. He completely understands how hard it is.
That's right. And we actually do understand how hard it is. Our dang kids just don't get
it. if they'd only understand the fount of wisdom that stands before them.
That's right. Yeah. We weren't from the greatest generation, but, you know, we were close to it.
Yeah, we're at least in the top three. We're in the top three, at least.
And so anyway, so Jesus can sympathize. Now, he could sympathize with our weaknesses completely without having gone through it.
Yeah.
But he did go through it, and we can look at him and say, you did go through it. You were tempted. Satan tempted you incredibly in the desert when you were fasting.
Right.
Offered you amazing things that you had to turn down, that you used Scripture to fight against Satan with.
Right.
And so also in that case, don't take Satan lightly either.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Even Jesus used Scripture to fight him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Didn't just blow him off like some kung fu movie, you know, with Enter the Dragon stuff.
Well, that's really true, right? He did treat him as a worthy adversary.
Yes. Yeah. Which is weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still completely beat him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and that's that thing about in Jude as well. Remember where Michael didn't belittle Satan, but argued with him respectfully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, so we can have confidence. So now he's told you, don't back down, don't back down, don't back down. And now he turns it around and says, you can approach God with confidence and receive mercy and grace in your time. You can go to him confidently. Remember in I think it's the Holy Grail, when God says, stop groveling in the dirt.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's kind of what he's saying. You don't have to come to him as a loving father.
Yeah.
Great ending for the chapter, I think.
Yeah. So true. So true. Well, thanks, my friend. That was great. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. It gives you some hope, right? Because like Larry says, we step into this life and we think we do not measure up. And if this is how God treated the nation of Israel, how do we fare? And yet at the very end there, right, we can approach the throne of grace with mercy and grace. That should give us some hope for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week. We are slowly approaching that time when we'll go on a little hiatus, and I'll continue to mention that until we actually go on our little one-month hiatus. Until then, we'll see you next week on the Apocalyptic Podcast.